I greet you, brothers and sisters, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know we're going to really challenging times. What do we do? How can we respond? Indeed, friends, you know, these are really times whereby it is so uncertain, and many of us living in fear, right, in anxiety, if not even, friends, sometimes in depression as well. How do we handle crisis in such challenging times as many of us are going through? And friends, one of the best persons we can learn from is about Job and the life of Job like this. And so therefore, I'm going to read from Job chapter 1, verses 1 to 12, where it says, "In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen and 500 donkeys, and a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, 'Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts.' This was Job's regular custom. One day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came with them. The Lord said to Satan, 'Where have you come from?' Satan answered, 'From roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it.' Then the Lord said to Satan, 'Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil.' 'Does Job fear God for nothing?' Satan replied. 'Have you not put a hedge around him and his household and everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face.' The Lord said to Satan, 'Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself, do not lay a finger.' Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord." Let us pray. Father, again, O God, we ask, O God, in this precious lesson we can learn from the life of Job, take your word and speak and challenge us, Father, I pray, and draw us all in response. We ask, O God, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Friends, in all that we go through in life, what can we learn really from the life of Job as to how he could handle all these crises in his life? All right. How does Job go about really in handling all of these in his life? The first crisis he went through is that of finance. In the financial crisis in Job chapter 1, verses 13 to 17, where it says, "One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at their oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, 'The oxen were plowing and donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabians attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, 'The fire of God fell from the sky and burnt up the sheep and the servants, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you.' While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, 'The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you.'" Friends, you see in the life of Job, wave after wave of attack, wave after wave of disaster. In that sense, in modern terms, all his stocks and shares went down to practically zero. Within a matter of hours, everything in his life was wiped off financially. What do we do? How can we respond in something like this with a disaster taking place? I know someone, for a younger CEO I'm involved in mentoring, in the first 2 months of MCO last year, his business got wiped up at 90%. It was a difficult time. Out of 60 workers he's got, he's a fellow 50 of them with no guarantee they come back at all. It is hard. It is difficult. It is a financial disaster in that sense for him. But friends, you know, some people may be facing, in terms of a business, it may be your jobs, having a heavy pay cut or even being retrenched from your work. What do we do? How can we really go about still living our life in the midst of such disasters like this? Must be hard and difficult, I know, my friends. And this is where you need to be connected in the body of Christ, where we journey together, besides reaching out to help others as well, going to such a disaster. A second crisis is that of a family crisis. Why? Because here in Job chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, this is what we read. "While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, 'Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at their eldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you. You see, not only financial disaster, there's a whole family disaster. All his children, 7 sons and 3 daughters, were just wiped out just like that. It must be, friends, you know, terribly painful, isn't it, for Job to go through that. Someone so close to you, someone who are your very own children like this, were just taken off in a moment. And sometimes, you know, this may happen to us in our family. I know we have lost loved ones. Some people lost their loved ones. It must be painful, difficult, isn't it, for you all to journey through something like this. And again, friends, can I urge you and pray with you that the Lord's grace and comfort will be there. But more than that, again, it's a reminder to all of us to be connected with one another, body of Christ, so that we don't have to carry, friends, the burden and the pain alone. There are others who want to journey with you. But also, friends, be aware, people outside the body of Christ, those who are not yet Christians, yet to come to faith, let us reach out also to share help and support and hope and prayerfully help to all of them like this, so they encounter the mercies, love, and the grace of God. Friends, you know, it is also the whole area of family that has been affected. But on top of that, Job went through a health crisis. Why? Because this is a record for us, whereby now God has given actually Satan the permission to really attack, okay, Job in this regard about his health. Why? Because Satan came to God and said, yeah, he has happened all this, but you still protected him. And then God actually gave Satan the permission to attack Job himself personally on his body. And this record for us, Job chapter 2, verses 7 and 8. So Satan went up from the presence of the Lord, afflicted Job with painful sores from the soles of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat among the ashes. You know, friends, I must remember, Job here is a highly respected man. He's a great man. Okay, and yet, friends, you know, here is a pitiful picture of Job scraping himself with broken pottery there. Really, friends, a pathetic state he is going through. Must be hard and difficult, isn't it? He is still touching his very own body himself. Maybe some of you are going through health crisis as well, like right now. But friends, can I say it again? We want you and I need to learn to see how we can journey together. All right? We know of people, as I said, who have lost their loved ones during this time. It must be tough and difficult, friends. Only just a few hours ago, journeying with a group of senior pastors of different churches, denominations, and one of them shared, just within a matter of a number of days, 2 sisters in the church passed on. The church is going through a really trying time at this point. Friends, you know, here, we all need to look to the grace of God and the mercies and the love of God and the support of one another in the body of Christ, friends, to really see how best we can continue to minister and lift each other up in such a time as this. But you notice, friends, Job went through another crisis in his life, and this one is actually a marriage crisis Job went through. Why, in all that Job has gone through, this is what happens to Job, that a wife turned around and said this to Job. His wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Friends, this must be the most painful of it all, isn't it? In the midst of all this crisis, there is this domestic crisis. Someone who is really so-called by Adam, bone of a bone and flesh of a flesh. She turns around and says, forget about it. Let's pack our bags. I said, well, curse God and die. Friends, you know, this is almost like a sword going through the heart of Job. Someone who is closest to you, who will journey with you all the way to the end, would say something like this. It must be really tough for Job, friends. And I can understand, okay, the grief that he has gone through. And so, friends, can I urge you, encourage you like this, that sometimes in these we're going through, we're not the only one. There are people gone through, and there are examples from Scripture. And here's a wonderful example to really help us, guide us along, how to navigate in our ways ahead. And that's important for us. But you know, more important than that, what kind of man is Job to deserve all these, to go through all these things in his life, right? What kind of man really is? What does the Bible tell us? Firstly, friends, Job is a righteous man who is highly distinguished as well. Here again, friends, Job chapter 1, verse 1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. The man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. That's the testimony. And then likewise, second half of verse 3 of Job chapter 1. He was the greatest man among all the people of the East. That's the testimony, friends, you know, of Scripture. that tells us the kind of man Job is. Upright, blameless, living above reproach, as it were. Not only, friends, you know, Scripture tells us about the kind of man. Even God himself said so. Why? Because in Job chapter 1, verse 8, then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil." So on top of everything else, God himself could testify, Job is really a good man, upright, honest, righteous. What a wonderful affirmation, friends, can I say, okay, of God towards that of Job. What a man, and what an example for you and I really to emulate, to follow. But on top of that, you notice, friends, Job here is a man who is concerned for others to ensure they don't sin against God. Why? Because when his children get together to feast to celebrate, this is the record for us here in verse 5 of Job chapter 1. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. This was Job's regular custom. It's an amazing, friends. He is not only a man of wonderful character, but a man of a caring heart. So deeply caring and concerned that his own children would not do anything wrong, would not suddenly sin against God. And Job would offer sacrifices on their behalf for all of them, confessing their sins and their wrongs. And this is, we're told here in Scripture, Job's regular custom. What a heart of a man. What an incredible, friends, concern and burden he carries. Not just for himself, for everybody around. And I believe, friends, you know, likewise in the body of Christ, I know of people who carry this kind of heart and burden for others. And I thank God for these people who are always concerned and burdened to ensure that people are journeying along all right in the midst of trials and tribulations. They will just stand in support and offer their help. I think of this friend of mine in India right now. Okay, our brother C.B. Samuel, highly respected man of God in India. Affirmed in so many years, and it's a real blessing to the body of Christ, not just in India, around the world. And he has come to DMC here to preach several times, and I thank God for this amazing servant together with his wife Selena, who actually stayed in our house before. And here is a man who carries a huge burden right now, as you and I know what is happening in India, that even friends, you know, servants of God, pastors and leaders have died as a result of this COVID infection upon their lives. Must be a painful time, friends, for him to journey through. And this is where, friends, you know, you and I want to do our level best to help one another, isn't it? To ensure that in the midst of walking right, again, there is no guarantee. Things will not happen to us. But friends, you know, we try our level best, isn't it? To offer comfort, help, and hope to others. To ensure that whatever happens, we will still want to continue to walk right and do right and have a real heart and burden to care for people. But you know what? On top of that, we find that really, this man Job has been attacked by Satan. Right, as we all know, like this. And so again, Job chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. "Does Job fear God for nothing?" Satan replied to God. "Have you not put a hedge around him and his household, everything he has? You have blessed the work of his hands, so that his flocks and herds are spread throughout the land. But stretch out your hand and strike everything he has, and he will surely curse you to your face." The Lord said to Satan, "Very well then, everything he has is in your hands, but on the man himself do not lay a finger." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord, and we all know, to attack Job, to really go all out, to give him all the trouble to try to destroy him. Friends, you know, sometimes in all that we go through, sometimes the attack of the enemy. Of course, we don't blame everything on the enemy, on Satan necessarily, because sometimes it could be our own sin, our own wrong, our own foolishness, or it could be other people, right? As a result of what they did, has indeed resulted in affliction for us. But sometimes you and I need to discern that this could be an attack of the enemy. And here it is a clear record that what Job is going through is really an attack from Satan. But you know what, friends? See, actually, Job doesn't know that this attack is actually from Satan. You look at the record, it doesn't tell us at all. In fact, what happens is later on when the three friends of Job came to comfort Job, they also have no idea, because when they told Job, all they're going through is because of all the sins and wrongs, and that's why you're going through it all. Job has to try to defend himself until find at a point of time, he himself became doubtful as well, that maybe it is true, I've done wrong. But he is still deep down in his heart of hearts, believing that, no, I've not done anything wrong. So doubts and everything crept into his mind, and Job struggled in his own life like this. But really, in this record, We're not told at all that Job knew the attack actually was on Satan, because it happened in the heavenly realm, as it were, whereby Satan came to God and said, if you allow me a chance to attack Job, I will go for him. So friends, you know, really, of all peoples, only God and Satan knows. Job, friends around, everybody doesn't know at all. But friends, you know, this is where you and I need wisdom, discernment from God to discern what is it, the cause of it all. But more than that, friends, you know, what is important for us, how did Job handle such crises in his life? Not just one, four, as we all know, as I said. How does it handle it? Because for many of us, we are packed up. Many of us, okay, we might have even given up our faith, isn't like this, in all that we're going through for no wrongs of our own, as it were. How did Job handle all this? Firstly, he refuses to charge or blame God for these disasters. It's amazing, why? Because here in Job chapter 1, verse 22, after three rounds of these attacks upon his life, this is a record for us, okay? In all these, Job did not sin by charging God for wrongdoing. Job refused to blame God, that God, you must be the causer of problem. You are almighty, you're all-powerful, can't you stop this? What kind of God are you? But friends, you know, here is something you see in the life of Job, that in spite of all this, he refused in any whatsoever to charge or blame God for all the trouble he's going through. And here, my friends, is something you and I can learn from Job's life. Sometimes things happen to us we may never know as to the reason why. But friends, you know, here is Job teaching us. Why? Because in what we may take out against God, we find at the end of it all, okay, some people will turn away from God. And therefore the question, who do you turn to? Right? Because whoever you turn to will largely be one where you receive really worldly wisdom, wisdom of this world. But friends, you know, here is a lesson for us in the case of the life of Job. He refused in any way whatsoever to blame God, to charge God for it. But more than that, he maintains a fear of God in the midst of all of these. What again, Job chapter 1, verse 1. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. Verse 8. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless, upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. Friends, you know, this is such an important thing for you and I to really lay hold on. A man who walks in the fear of God. And friends, when you and I walk in the fear of God, we are fearless regards to men. We are fearless in that sense with whatever that happens. Why? Because you and I know God holds our lives in his wonderful hands. And this is where we can trust him and continue to journey on. Why? Because the fear of the Lord, the Bible tells us, is the beginning of wisdom. We become wise in knowing what to say, what to do, what not to do, and where to go. Of course, we also need the counsel of others, some other godly people who likewise fear God, that we can seek their wisdom, right? The advice to navigate this whole thing that we're going through in such challenging times and crises that we, you and I, need to handle. But friends, you know, there's a third area. He seeks to walk right with God all the time. Why? Because in Job chapter 2 and verse 3, it says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though he incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. See, in spite of all the attacks of Satan against that of Job, Job held on, all right, to a posture of trust and faith, to a posture whereby he would not exchange his integrity for comfort, for convenience, for anything else. Friends, I know, friends, it is not easy, really, when we are challenged to the very core of our being like this. And this is where you and I need to really look to God and ask him, Lord, will you help me to continue to just walk right before you, to do things that are right, to say things that are right as well, isn't it? So important, friends, for you not to exchange, as it were, okay, all that we're going through for comfort, convenience, and compromise in the process, and before you realize it, it is in it all compromise our faith. I know it's tough, it's difficult. It really stretches us and pulls us in all directions and dimensions. And this is where you and I can really see how Job responds in the midst of it all. But on top of that, friends, can I say, what can we learn from Job's life, in a crisis that he went through, in all the challenges, okay, and the stretching that he has been put through it all? What can we learn from his life? three important lessons I want to say you and I can learn from so that we trust by God's grace, we ourselves will put into practice. The first is a perspective to adopt. What is the kind of perspective Job adopted in these crises he went through in life? Job chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. At this, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." It's an amazing, friends, perspective of Job's posture of the heart. The way he looks at things. Whatever we have garnered is all from the Lord. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. And Job could, in the midst of all this, friends, still praise God. Praise is a reflection of a right attitude towards God. And a right attitude will result in spite of all the pain and the heartaches, we can still thank God for it. Now, we don't thank God for the circumstance. We thank God in spite of the circumstance, as the Bible tells us. Give thanks to God, okay, in all things. Not for all things, but in all things. That's a kind of perspective to know that whatever it is, this God is in charge and control. I can trust Him in what I'm going through. I may not see the full picture, but I believe one day we shall and we will. That's the kind of God, friends. That's the kind of perspective that Job has and a lesson for us. But on top of that, a choice to make. Here, friends, in Job chapter 2 and verse 10, he replied, right here, Job replying to his wife, "You are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble?" In all this, Job did not sin in what he said. You see, in all the pressures and the pain and the heartaches he has gone through, Job could still, in a real sense, and forced to make a choice. He can choose to be bitter and angry, lash out against everybody else besides his wife, and even sometimes take out against God. What kind of God are you? Here is something that has happened to me. Don't you understand? Don't you know? And you know what? I've not done anything wrong. You have even said this. Of course, Job doesn't know, okay, about all this, but this is what God actually said to Satan. "Have you considered my servant Job? He walks right, he fears me, okay, and is someone who is really righteous in every way." And so, friends, you know, in these kind of things we go through in life, at the end of it all, it's a choice we have to make. Can we still believe that this God is a good God? I don't fully understand everything. I don't see the full picture. God sees it all. We have to come to a place where we make a choice to trust Him, God. In spite of that, all the confusion, heartaches, and pain, I want to choose to trust you that you are still a good God. I want to believe that one day I will see the light of day. I will see the full picture. And friends, here's a choice we make, besides a right perspective you and I got to adopt. But there's one final lesson you and I can learn from Job's life, which is an attitude to adopt. What kind of attitude should we be adopting at the end of it all? And Job here, chapter 2, the second half of verse 3, it says here, okay, God actually saying to Satan, "And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason." Job refused to compromise and buckle and give in, in spite of all this kind of attacks upon him. More than that, here in chapter 2, the second half of verse 10, it tells us, "In all these, Job did not sin in what he said." It's amazing, friends. In all of these, Job continued to maintain a wonderful attitude of faith and trust in God. One of just walking right, walking pleasing before Him, still maintaining a posture of trust and faith, a posture of belief, a posture whereby there is still, in spite of that, maintaining a sense of joy and rest and faith in God. I know it will never be easy, my friends, to do that. And that's the reason why this weekend is such an important weekend for all of us. Why? Because this is Pentecost weekend. It is Sunday, Pentecost Sunday. You and I need the Holy Spirit, because Pentecost is a celebration of the visit of the giving of the Holy Spirit to God's people. At that point of time there in Jerusalem, and as you know, that gift of God through the Holy Spirit has been given to all of us. The descent or the coming of the Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost, first Pentecost, okay, amongst the group of believers there, okay, there in Jerusalem. That gift has today become something that is real for all of us and is available. Holy Spirit is today available for everyone who come to faith in Christ, who trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I believe, friends, you know, This is where you and I need the mercy, the love, and the grace of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. He is here. He is available. He wants to step into our lives so that we have to struggle on our own. We're going to have to work through, as it were, our agony, our confusion on our own. Besides the body of Christ there to journey with us, to help us along. And I trust, my friends, you will make your needs known. And that's what we are. Friends, can I say, in DUMC together. And that's what we need to continue to do. I trust, friends, in our needs, the tensions and challenges and crises we will share with one another in our cell group, with our cell leader, with our zone leader, with our zone pastor, so that we can hold hands, lock arms, and journey together by the grace of God, so that we pray, we'll be support, a help, a comfort, and encouragement. More than that, friends, there is a Holy Spirit available that you and I can tap in and ask, Spirit of God, just come and sustain me. Come and fill and empower me. Lord God, I'm indeed at my wit's end, as it were, in trying to keep afloat. Holy Spirit, come, fill me, enable me, strengthen me. Give me your power all over again to journey in this phase of my life that in such challenging times and this crisis I'm going through. Spirit of God, you, the comforter, the counselor, the helper, you indeed, the power of God, come and empower, enable me to journey through so that by your grace I may fulfill your call to continue to remain steadfast and faithful in the midst of such challenging times. That even in the midst of crisis and heartaches and trouble, that I can still, by your grace, continue to remain faithful and steadfast in all the way to the end. Friends, there are a number of things that comes up when we do that by the power of the Holy Spirit. Firstly, we become an encouragement to one another. Why? Because when people see us, that we are still holding on steadfast, firm, and fervent in spite of all the crises we go through, we become a tremendous encouragement to other people. But more than that, we become a comfort to others who are going through it all as well. That people going through such kinds of crises or challenges, when they look at us, we become a comfort to them to say that, my goodness, he or she going through it all still remained faithful, fervent, and steadfast. I can receive a comfort likewise to the Holy Spirit to such an example that I have. So not only, friends, you know, we become encouragement, we become a comfort. We become also, friends, can I say, a good example to help other people go through such times like this. Friends, coming alongside, journeying with people to say in what you're going through, you know, I know it is hard, it is painful, difficult, but can I share with my own experience? I've gone through it all as well, you know, so that indeed we can journey together, hold hands, journey together, so that by the grace of God, we'll be able indeed to know God's hand, God's power, God's grace to go through it all, so that by the grace of God, we will really, my friend, come out in spite of all that, victorious and strong by the grace of God, so that our lives become a tremendous encouragement, inspiration to others, so that we can comfort one another, so that we can also help one another to really live a victorious life in the Lord Jesus Christ. These are the same times, my friends, that you and I all the more so need to join hands and lock arms to change together. So that we pray by God's grace, in the midst of all the challenges and turmoil, we pray that we'll come up victorious. We'll press on to remain faithful, steadfast in fulfilling God's call for our lives and reaching out more so to the world outside who have yet to encounter Jesus and know the strength and power of the Holy Spirit, so that they will experience likewise, friends, breakthrough and victory, help and hope for them all, which is found in the gospel, the good news of Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close in prayer for all of us. Shall we come to God in prayer? Father, I pray, O God, for every one of us, that we will know mercies, love, and the grace of yours upon our lives in such a difficult, challenging time. Lord, I pray, our Father, O God, for all of us, we can learn precious lessons from a person like Job, who has gone through crisis after crisis, and had come out, O God, at the end of it all, victorious and strong. What an important example and lesson we can learn. What comfort we can, oh God, our Father, appropriate from him. But, oh God, what lesson can we learn likewise to grow in it together? Lord, help us all. And Lord, I want to pray for those who are going through, oh God, crisis and challenges in his life, in her life. Release your grace upon them, Father, I pray, even right now. Sustain them by your power. Holy Spirit, come and fill and baptize each one of these, oh God, I pray, and raise them up, oh God, I ask our Father to continue to walk, oh God, I pray, Father, oh God, above the circumstances they are in. Lord, help each one, Father, I pray, oh God, and that we can in turn help others, oh God, who have yet to encounter your love, mercy, and grace in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to pray finally for maybe some of us tuning in, watching in, you have yet to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if you like today to take the step of faith to trust in Christ, I want to pray for you because He is here with us, in us, for us, and around. He never stepped into life to make a difference. So in all your confusion, maybe even heartaches and pains, He understands. He wants to come alongside, my friend, to help you to journey with you. So you'd like to, never taken a step to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, you'd like to, would you follow after me in your heart this prayer as I lead it, you indeed? Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you for your love for me. Thank you, you are there indeed for us, with us, in us and around us. I come, Lord Jesus Christ, to acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I need your mercy, your forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your death on the cross that makes forgiveness possible and available to me. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Come and forgive and cleanse me from all that is wrong in my life. And come and fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit. Enable me to walk with you for the rest of my life. Give me your love, your peace, your joy. And could you enable me to walk, O God, in the faith and trust in you all the way to the end. Lord Jesus, I pray for those who prayed this prayer to trust in us, Lord and Savior of their lives. Come and bless them, Spirit, come fill them, empower them. Release your grace upon them. And Lord, I pray, Father, O God, that this will not only experience, you've got new birth and new life in you, but Father, I pray, they will be full up in the life of the church and grow in you and begin, oh God, a journey of faith and trust, so that increasing in their lives, they will know the grace, the blessing of yours upon their lives. Bless us all, Father, I pray, oh God, so that in these troublesome, challenging times, we continue to know you are Lord, you are God, in charge and control. We trust you and walk by faith and not in fear, Father, I pray. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Can I say, friends, for those of you who prayed the prayer just now to trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, would you click the button, okay, on the whole area of receiving Jesus in your life, would you click the button about it so that our people can follow up with you? And for others of you who need prayer, would you click the button on, raise hands for prayer or need prayer, right? Our people again follow up with you. We are more than delighted to journey with you. And indeed, for those who trust in Christ as Lord and Savior, would you fill that simple little form there so that we can really help you, all right, in a journey of faith. Otherwise, friends, God bless you. Let's continue the journey together, friends, in walking with Jesus and knowing the power of the Holy Spirit so that by the grace of God, we continue to walk in faith, in trust, in obedience, so that we will continue to know the blessing of God upon us all. God bless all of you richly. Amen.